the people. You see, and just the bandits here, they're not allowed. They're allowed not to laugh at my joke, so I can tell the same joke again. Since I only have one for the day, okay? But I heard the story about the $200 note and the $5 coin. They were meeting each other in the street, and they're just chatting about how the week was. And the $5 coin was looking at the $200 note. He says, "So how was your week?" And the $200 note goes, Monday I went to Simot, was there for a while there, got a couple of things. And then on Wednesday, we were kind of bored, so we went to Village Cafe and we had a nice lunch there. And then on Saturday evening, we didn't have much to do, so we thought we went to the casino. So that's about my week. And the $200 note look at the $5 coin, and he said, "Your week?" I said, "No, nothing serious, same old story, church. So we've taken up the offering, so I can say that now with boldness. I know I'm not going to, I don't want your money. I don't want your $5 coin. I want your $200. The church wants that. God wants that. The Lord bless you. Let's get our Bibles. We're going to read from James 4 this morning. James 4 verse 7. James 4 verse 7. I think I've got the scripture actually up there. We can get it up there. I want to talk about the four no's this morning. Not your nose. Not the four noses, but the vier nie's. James 4 verse 7. And that's my scripture this morning, what I would like to use as a place of departure. And we were praying on Tuesday morning out there at the Martin Luther Museum. And it's one of those moments we were doing that not in reaction, but in obedience to what God asked us to do. Praying at the gates, we've done that before. And we felt it late that we have to do that. And then in the meanwhile, as someone shared with me, Richard came to me before that actually, he shared with me that he feels that there's a need or urge that we have to go and pray at the gates. And we did that on Tuesday morning. We spread up in three groups, our intercession team, and we prayed at the gates. But between the time Richard shared the word and the time we went to pray, in the meanwhile, I think a lot of us read the article in the number of times about the satanic rituals and things that's happening at the moment. And I believe it's appropriate for this time as well. But so we had the prayer there, and this scripture dropped in my spirit. And the Lord confirmed that twice during the day again, a specific scripture. And I believe that is more than just for me this morning, that God is talking to us. So this morning, I'm not just giving you a sermon. I think God is actually just warning us. And it's going out as a warning this morning for many of us that we do not know what's coming, but we know the one that knows everything. And therefore, I can honestly say this morning, we do not have to be afraid. I'm not sowing fear. Let me make it clear this morning. That's the good news. The good news is that we know in advance when the enemy is coming. He's not going to caught you off guard unless you allow him to. That's the great thing of being part of the kingdom of light. That, yes, the enemy is coming and he's coming for us. He doesn't like us. But the good news is God is warning us and then he's equipping us, or he tells us how to equip ourselves. So James 4 verse 7 says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you." Now you can actually, that one scripture is actually two sermons, believe it or not. The first part, those three words, therefore submit to God, is one sermon on its own. And then the rest of the resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's something we can break up. Now I have to say first of all that the most powerful, there we go, are we there? Yeah, we're still there. The most effective weapon against Satan this morning are those three words in the beginning. I'm not going to talk about that this morning as such. I think we've said a lot about that. But it entails to completely submit unto God. If you and I, if we are completely submitted unto God, under His reign, then we are at a safe place. I want to talk about the second part. I think there's sometimes a lack of understanding when the Bible says to us, resist the devil. Notice the word resist, and he will flee from you. It's actually a promise. Or he's saying he will flee if you resist him. Now, a year and a half ago, when people join us, you know, most of the time I try to visit them and just chat with them and see how are they, where they're coming from, what are they giftings and all of that. And I was at such a meeting at once. I remember I spoke to this lady. I said to her, so tell me a little bit more about yourself. Tell me a little bit more about your spiritual gifting. What's making your heart tick or beating, you know, what's your spiritual gift? And the lady said to me, Pastor, I like fighting with the devil, you know. And I said, you know, I didn't take nonsense of him. That's my calling. I fight with the devil. Now, you realize sometimes in the midst of the day, there's a little bit of truth there. That's not necessarily, and I can honestly say to you this morning that I personally am not a demon chaser. I don't believe that we are called to chase demons out of every. I'm rather choosing to be a God chaser. I wish sometimes, and I see this especially on young Christians, there's an interest in the supernatural, into the demonic and all of those things. And it's great if God has given you that passion, just distinguish between passion and real interest or just being curious. But I notice that there's often there that curiosity, that interest into those things about the supernatural, because we do not know a lot about that and you read a lot about but I just wish sometimes we are so hungry for God as we are hungry for all these devil stuff that we want to find out about and to how to do this and the how and that. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't know about that. In actual fact, that's why I'm talking about that this morning. But I have to say that as a foundation, that our chasing after God needs to be more vigorously, more relentlessly than our chasing after what Satan is doing right now. Because you get people in the body all over today, they find the devil behind every... I've been told, you know... I've been told even when I change things in this church, that all this black stuff that you've changed, this must be from the devil. And then I think, God, but somewhere we're missing each other here. I don't see what the other person is seeing, but God help me. All I'm saying is many times we find the devil where he's not really. But this morning, for where we are, what's happening right now, I want us to just stand still at that scripture for a moment. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So I'm having a demon sermon this morning, a Satan sermon, whatever you can call it this morning. Not a demon sermon. That sounds very horrific. Sounds like a thriller. Age restriction is 18 today. 21, sorry. The rest can you leave now. During the Second World War, that in Germany, they had a couple of or few people from the from France, and they became known as the French Resistance Group that fought behind enemy lines. I'm saying to you, I'm proposing to you this morning that God needs more of those kind of people in the body that resist the work of Satan. And bear with me, what I mean with that is that that we do not accept what's happening. You know what? Yesterday we were praying at the gates again at the Saturday morning, 7 o'clock, and that was with the other churches, which was such a beautiful picture of how the body can come together. Now we can say, well, there could have been more. There are about 60 churches in Swakopmund, believe it or not. Whether they're all legitimate, I don't know. That's up to God. But nevertheless, we were there, and I'm glad from where we stand that I'm not saying that in being proud this morning, but the majority of the people were our people there. And I'm not saying that, God, oh, I'm glad it's all shofar people. I'm just glad that God is doing something here. And nothing towards the other body. And we love them. We meet with them. I'm just glad when you see that people understand that we are in a battle here. That's why we're up there. We're doing war. And that's what we did yesterday, you know. And you understand that people start, something is going on. The light is going somewhere on. That people understand that, you know, things are not just going to happen. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Okay. I want you, if we look at that word resist, if you go back to the original os, where's Antoni? You have to help me out. Autostemi. I don't know if I pronounced this right. But that's the Greek word which defines it, or Thayer's dictionary defines it, to set yourself against, to withstand, or to oppose. To prevent by action or argument. And there's no question this morning, when you look at it in context, this word resist the devil, it embodies an aggressive conflict. What am I trying to say to you? Satan is not coming over for cookies and tea to your home to have a little party. And then he sits down and says, listen, yeah, I'm here to visit you this morning, Whitney. And what can I do in your home? I'm just here to spend some time with your children. Scary, yeah. It's scary stuff. I want to say to you, the moment Satan walks through that door in your house or wherever, he's not there for the party. He's not there. He's there to surprise you, yeah. And he doesn't ask of me and you just to be ignorant and to sit down and think, okay, we'll entertain him. We'll even serve him a coffee and tea. And then whenever he feels like it, he can go. When the Bible talks about the resist, it's an aggressive conflict. What I'm saying to you, whenever Satan enters through my door, I'm not going to entertain him. I chase him out. Go! And everybody is awake. I'm not going to ask you. We're not going to negotiate whether you have the right here or not, whether you feel welcome or not, whether I feel like it or not, or whether I have time for that now. The moment you walk through my doors, you're not welcome in my house. Joshua 1 verse 8, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'm going to chase you aggressively out of my house. And I think it's sometimes necessary for us as people, as church, family, as back at home, to recognize that whenever the enemy is walking through your door, he's got a plan. I'll get to that in a moment. And you do not entertain things like that. That's when you look at what Jesus did when he was tempted. And that's for me such a beautiful. We learn three things quickly from that. In Matthew 4, when Jesus was tempted in the desert for 40 days. Many of us think, well, when we read the story, he was only tempted at the end of the 40 days with the bread and the stone and all of that. But I honestly believe that Jesus was tempted for the full period of time. And he resisted him steadfastly. But the first thing we recognize here is that when Satan came in the scene, Jesus recognized him. He recognized him and he dealt with him swiftly. He didn't entertain the thought of having Satan around him. He dealt with him swiftly and he moved on. A lot of us want to entertain that and still dwell in this experience, this wow demon experience I had with chasing out the demon. Whilst we are called to deal with that, I see that every time in the scripture, in the gospels, that Jesus didn't go and look for them. It just happened to be that coincidentally, but I believe by God's grace, that suddenly the demon-possessed man is on the scene and then Jesus just deals with it and move on. Because I believe we can reach a place in the body where we become demon chasers, where the Satan directs our... And we run after this demon and after this demon. But if I'm a God chaser, I'm on my mission to let your kingdom come. And if there's a demon in the way, I'll deal with it and I move on. I do not entertain him. I deal with him swiftly. But I don't entertain. I haven't got time to spend time on demons while there's so much more in the kingdom. And I'm not saying ignoring that. I'm just actually saying the opposite this morning. That we have to be alert and be vigilant. Secondly, Jesus spoke directly to the devil. He did not pray to the Father to remove him. And I think it's many times out of ignorance and out of a lack of knowledge that we pray and we ask the Father, Father, can you remove this from me, this devil that's tempting me? And the Lord says, I've already done this for you. I've done what I had to do. I had this testimony about this pastor. About 20 years ago, he had this huge, intense fear of dying from a heart attack. And it just became such an obsession. Every time he would drive in his car, he would feel this fear would come upon him. He would start sweating. It's just terrible. It wasn't from God. And he was praying, God, take away. God, take this away. God, take this away. And one day, he shared it with a pastor's friend of him. And he said, you know, I've been praying to God for so many years, asking him just to remove this intense fear. That I know this is from the enemy, but I've been asking him. I'm still struggling with this. And while he was sharing that, the pastor said to him, let me just stop you there. There's the problem is there, right there. You've been asking God to do that. He's already given you the authority. You're going to give Satan the instruction to leave. Every time that fear comes, you're going to chase him out. You're going to resist him steadfastly, relentlessly, out of your life. You tell him to flee. Fear free. Fear flee. Fearless in the name of Jesus. And he didn't do that, and he struggled with that for another year. Anyways, they got together again, and the other pastor asked him, how are you doing? He said, no, I'm still struggling with the same. And then he said, well, why aren't you taking my advice? So the next time they came around, the other pastor was healed completely. That fear never came back to him. And he shared with him that moment when he realized that he's got that authority and he took that up. Fear had to go. He was set free from that. You know, when we went to Rundu just now, we saw, we all know that the war was on over there. You can still see the evidence of that in the houses, the bunkers, and all of that. But to bring the example home to you this morning is, if our government or our president would ask us, or we would get involved in, let's say we get involved in a war in Angola. A couple of years we were involved in the war. We sent some troops to the Congo. I don't know if you can remember that for a short while. Back at that time, we had only two choppers in our Navy, or Air Force, sorry. And we got involved there in the Namibian Air Force. And then with one battle, they destroyed 50% of our Air Force, one chopper down. So anyway, nowadays, I don't know if it's better, but nevertheless, let's say, for instance, we would get involved in a war up in Angola and the president would send all of us, we got to fight in the war there. And then suddenly the bombs are dropping on us and the gunshots. And for some or another miraculous way, you get the line, direct line to the president. You call him. You're in the middle of this battle. And the gunshots are going. You're just going like, Mr. President, Mr. President, they're shooting on us. Mr. President, the bombs are dropping. Can you come and remove them from me? Can you come and help me? I don't think the president would entertain the thought or think about it too much and say to us, you know, I'll be there in 2 days. I gave you the authority. Just use your gun. Just shoot them. Just take them out of the way. Whilst we sometimes pray those kind of prayers to God, where God says, you know, I've given you everything. Satan is there. I know you experiencing all of this. Just use your gun. Just realize the authority has already been handed to you on the cross. I told this story before, but the Bible says here in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, I think, the one I just read, that the devil is sneaking around like a lion, and he's roaring at you. By the way, before I get there, the third point, you can write it down. Jesus spoke the written word of God. Those are the three things. He spoke to him directly, he didn't entertain him, and he spoke the written word of God. Those are the three things. But to come back to 1 Peter 5 verse 8, be on your guard and stay awake. Your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion sneaking around to find someone to attack. And I want to talk about those four things this morning, how we can resist him. Can we go to that slide quickly? The first one, to give him no opportunity. 1 Peter 5. Four ways how we can resist the enemy. First of all, we give him no opportunity. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 and 9 says that the devil is like a roaring lion. And like I said, I told this once before, but I'm going to tell it again, so bear with me. That when the Bible says Satan is like a lion, he comes around to steal, kill, and destroy. But I can assure you this morning, when Jesus hanged on that cross and he died for me and you, Satan's teeth were pulled that day. He can't damage, or he can't harm you anymore if you're vigilant, if you're at the place of submitting completely to God. He can't do that anymore. He hasn't got teeth. Huh? He's a kitty cat now. Thank you, Carol. But now the problem we have in the church many times is we've got the Christians that do not understand that. So what the devil will do is he will gum you to death. We do not understand. He's got no teeth. He can't do you any harm. But we allow him to gum us. When you have the little ones, you understand when they start to get their teeth. It's not a beautiful picture. But the quail and the food is just coming out. Huh? But we've all seen these pictures in documentaries in National Geography or these programs on television about the lion just sitting there or lying down there under the tree. They have the springbuck or the buffaloes, wherever. They're just coming to the waterhole. All in a pack, just gathering at the water. And then they would drink water. But then you have this one buck. Just on the side, yeah. He's wandering off. Go and try the water on that side. Green grass on the side. And we know the story. You've seen that many times. The lion doesn't go and run into the herd. He runs for that one on the side there. That's a lesson there. That's what's happening in the body. The whole thing about being on the side. Satan cannot invent new tricks. The Bible has already given it to us, all of it. If we know that, if we read that, if we study that, you will know his plan. What are lions eating? Meat. You're right. The flesh. Meat. The Bible says in Romans that if we walk in the flesh, we're not to walk in the flesh, but rather in the spirit. And what I'm trying to say to you this morning, we give the devil opportunity. Or let me say it this way. There are some of us this morning who are more vulnerable for an attack of the enemy than others. When are you more vulnerable? When you walk in the flesh. Then Satan suddenly smells blood. Because you start walking in the flesh, not according to the spirit. When we went to Rudy now as well, I shared as well this morning, there are another testimonies. We didn't share them this morning, but the other testimony that are, or few testimonies that are here this morning are the people that's just actually here alive. Because they swam in the Okavango River between the crocodiles. For them to be here this morning is also a testimony. But if you would jump in the river there, infested with crocodiles, and there's blood, as they do with the sharks, chumming, like they call it. Guess what? The shark will smell the blood. And every time you and me, we walk in the flesh, we single ourselves out there. And Satan, there's a more opportune time for you to be taken out. That's why we got to submit completely unto God. That's when we get or give him opportunity. And the word says that we ought to walk in the spirit, and not according to Galatians 5, verse 16 says this. So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Immoral ways, filthy thoughts, lustful pleasure, wrongly directed worship, witchcraft, hate others, and are hard to get along with. Jealous, angry, and selfish. Argue and cause trouble. Envious, get drunk, wild parties, etc., etc. We need grace to live up to that standard of living. I don't think it comes naturally for us. It's a constant decision daily that we need to make. To say, God, I want to walk in the Spirit. Rather than giving in to the desires of the flesh. I got to pray God daily to help me to walk at that place. You see, the world, when we walk in the flesh, we lose our sensitivity for the things of God. But it doesn't happen overnight. Whenever the Spirit of God leaves you, it always leaves you quietly. two works opposite. Whenever the spirit of Satan or the demon spirit would leave you, it goes out with a noise. Whenever you've seen that, when people has been delivered from that. I'm not going to pretend and do that today. That wouldn't be a good sight. No, I agree. Thanks, I don't have to entertain you. But whenever the Spirit of God leaves you, He leaves you quietly. The Bible says that Samson got up as if the Spirit of God was still in him. And he wanted to do what he wanted to do, but the Spirit of God left him. So you lose your sensitivity. And it's sensuality versus sensitivity. The word or the world actually tells us to be sensual. When you are sensual, or sensuality is living for pleasure and the gratification of our senses, as opposed to sensitivity, where we are sensitive to the things of right and wrong, or the things of that's pleasing God. And when I live for myself, live for what I like, the world tells us, as long as you like it, as long as it pleases you, that's good enough. Why, we know the Bible is not saying that. Second thing this morning, we give the devil no advantage. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11, Paul writes, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, if you look at the word advantage, the definition of that, it means to gain more, to obtain a greater share. And we give the devil advantage this morning when we're ignorant of him in our lives. Two words I want you to highlight there in that scripture. Ignorant and devices. Ignorant is a lack of thinking, a lack of understanding and perception. We do not care too much. We do not want to know about that. There's an ignorance about that. And the second word is devices. Mastered plans or skillful, purposeful plans. The devil is a schemer. He's a schemer coming around to set up a plan and walk away and allow that plan just to bring it to fulfillment. Because he can't be everywhere. But he can set up a lot of plans in your life and he walk away and he sees the destruction in that. And if we are ignorant, we'll fall to that. We'll fall in the trap of that or the pit of that. Romans 12 verse 2, we've heard it many times, but I read this version. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You and me are programmed to think a certain way by default. As the computers, you click that on the default. We think as the world by default. And that's a process daily as we read the word, as we spend time with him, that our ignorance are being changed. We defeat, or the key this morning to not giving the devil advantage this morning, is to love the word more than the world. But if you allow the world to transform your thinking, to do as the world asks you or invites you to, guess what? Satan will have an advantage. You will be a more opportune target for the enemy. You will be the one on the side that it will take out. You will be that weak buck being hurt. Springbokkie met die afbeen. That can't run away from him. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Isaiah 4 verse 6. That's why we got to stay in the word. And our ignorance, when we look at Jesus, every time when the devil came to him, what did Jesus say? It is written. It is written. And he quoted scripture. He knew the word and he defeated him with the word. And he spoke directly to Satan. He didn't entertain him. He spoke directly to him. Said, this is what the word says. But he knew the word. And that tells me that we got to know the word as well. You see, Satan came and then he gives Jesus a shortcut. Just do this, then you can get this. Then you can be lifted up. That's exactly. It works today exactly the same. Just drink this, man. You'll feel in a high. Just use this drug and you enjoy it for a moment. It gives you the quick fix always. Just have this affair. Just this one night with that woman. That's just a quick one. But he forgets to tell you in the fine print. On the long run, you're going to pay for that. You can enjoy it tonight. But 5 years from now, your marriage will be broken. You can enjoy the drug tonight. 5 years tonight, from tonight, you will be dead. Because I want to take you to that place. His plans has never changed. He's to kill, steal, and destroy. And if we are in the Word, we allow Him to transform us, to enlighten our minds, we'll see Him when He enters at my front gate there. And I'll resist Him steadfastly when I enter through my house or through the doors of my house. Because I know exactly. I'm expecting Him. I'm waiting for Him. Guess what, Satan? You can't surprise me. I'm prepared for you. I'm alert. Third one. We can take. Turn with me to Mark 5, verse 6. Mark 5, verse 6 to 13. I'll read that to you. We give the devil no permission. No opportunity. No advantage. Third one, no permission. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him. He ran to meet Jesus and fell down before him. He gave a terrible scream, shrieking, "Why are you bothering me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? For God's sake, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked, "What is your name?" And the spirit replied, "Legion, because there are many of us here inside this man." Then the spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the evil spirits begged. Jesus, listen to verse 13, Jesus gave them permission. So the evil spirits came out of the man and into the pigs, and the entire herd of 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake where they drowned. I want you to notice that Jesus had to give them permission. Satan cannot just walk through your door and do what you do unless you give him permission to do. Now, in the other way as well, I want to say, how do we give him permission? We give him permission when we directly disobey the authority of God over our lives, whether it's directly or indirectly. We all know that the world is telling us different. Do your own thing. You're the own boss. But God, that's not God's order. And God has got structure in place. We've got it in the church. We've got it at the home, father, mother, the role of that. We know that. And I want to say to you this morning, when we disobey the authority that God has placed over us, whether it's Him directly or people delegated authority over our lives, then we are a prone target this morning for the enemy. We're in effect giving Him permission. That's that one sheep that wanders off somewhere on the side. Through the green, green grass. There's a song there about that. I don't know what the song is, but that's it. Yes, yes. We're going to sing that one just now. No. You go off to that green grass. I always say the grass is only greener on the other side because the mist is meer daar so. It will wait for you. Because you gave Him permission. That's why God intended it for us to be a family. That's why God intended for us there's a safety in the family. Because when my little girl goes off and she plays it somewhere else and I see danger there, then I got to bring her back into the home, that safe place, and tell her, listen, that's not safe. You can't play there. Daddy sees something else that you cannot see. Likewise, I'm standing here this morning. I'm not promoting myself here this morning. But I honestly can say that this morning, that when God gives me insight into things sometimes, to see, I want to say the supernatural, to see when danger is coming, when one of the sheep is wandering off. It doesn't say that to me just because I'm special or more spiritual than you are, just because of the office where I'm standing. And likewise with the father where you are at home, you would know you are able, you are gifted by God, you are anointed by God to see danger far away because you are the strong man of the house. In the natural, but also spiritually as well. That's why Satan wants to keep the men out of that place. So that he can come and walk through the door. And steal, kill and destroy. And many of us have not taken up that role of guarding the house. Anyway, what I want to say to you this morning, I guess I make it very clear that God is saying, remain under that cover. I'm passionate about church. I'm passionate about the fact that we need to be here on Sundays in gatherings, wherever. Because there's protection around that. You cannot tell me you serve God, but I do my own thing on a Sunday, Sunday after Sunday I'm talking about. Then there are red lights flickering. I've not seen that pattern in the Bible. With cowboys out there fighting their own battle. Because I'm not able this morning. That's why when we see things like this happening right in this moment in Swakopmund with churches and all of that, not knocking any churches this morning, with all due respect, because we do pray for that, and I can say that because I know I'm praying for them. And I'm not knocking any leader, I pray for them. I'm not referring to, I'm just saying in general, the attack against the church. We gotta gather around each other. You can ask the elders. I emailed them this week and said, if you prayed for me before, you gotta double that up now and pray even more. Not that it's going bad at the moment, just to protect myself, to protect, because I know what damage it can does. And the reason I'm standing while I'm standing this morning is not because I'm better, I'm more spiritual. It's because God's grace is upon our lives. And that's my prayer for us as a congregation this morning. I was praying it this morning before the service started. God, draw a hedge of protection around this congregation so that nobody would scatter, that nobody would wander off and go and try the green grass on the other side of Ohio and guess and find out that it's not the good place. God's been gracious to us. God's been good to us. It's His grace. It's not us. But I don't want to give Him opportunity. I tell you, we can give Him opportunity, Satan. How we live, by the things we do, by disobeying, or shall I say, become resistant against authority and all those kind of things. We see that in the New Testament, the Roman centurion. Jesus comes to, or he comes to Jesus and says, heal my daughter. And then Jesus, or he says to Jesus, I understand the way it works. You can just speak a word. Because I understand authority. I tell the one to go and the other one to stay. And Jesus looks at this man and says, surely I've not found a man in the whole of Israel, the whole of Israel that's got such faith. He connects the two with one another, submission to the one that's understanding authority to faith. And then you read in Acts 7, beautiful story about this, these seven men. I think it's seven of them. No, it's seven. Anyway, I've got seven, Acts 7 and seven men. But nevertheless, you can correct me afterwards. When they these guys, they come to Paul, and they wanted to cast out these demons. And then the demon starts talking to them. Hey, who are you? Jesus we know. Or Jesus I know. Paul I know. Or who are you? They tried to do it in their own authority. And the Bible says that spirit overtook them. And they were running out there. I think it says naked. Is it there where they ran out naked? I might have it wrong. Nevertheless, if you look at the context of those people, they were in resistance or in rebellion to their father, to the priest, to Paul. They didn't recognize that. And as a result of that, they got beaten like the bulls got beaten by the lions 2 weeks ago. 62 to 23, I don't know. Huh? Pain, pain. Last one this morning. No place. You give the devil no place. Ephesians 4. Verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath. We've always heard that. Nor give place, the last part, nor give place to the devil. The definition of place, we all know that, but it's a space marked off, reserved for parking sometimes. We see that. The disabled parking. When you go to Spar, you'll see there's a disabled parking. Yeah, they are not so strict on that. When you go in England, you park on that place, guess what will happen with you? They'll clamp you. It costs you £300, not rands. You can make the sum for yourself. That's a lot of money there. For somebody to come and remove that clamp. I want to say to you this morning, you're parking at the wrong place. if you are not in the wrong relation or in the right relationship with somebody else. Satan will come and clamp you. You're reserved for somebody else there. If you park over there, you're reserved for him if you park in his place. And I'm not in the right relationship with my brothers and my sisters, my family and whoever. And the way we give Satan place in our lives is by not being in the right relationship with those around us, not in peace, not in love, or being in the wrong relationship. We give him place. Can you see that God gives us the, he warns us ahead, he tells us these are the things, do not go there, but if you go there, you are going to give him permission, you are going to give him place, you are going to give him opportunity or advantage. But if you don't do that, you're at a place where you're completely submitting unto God. And he cannot harm you and me. That's the great news. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that's active here this morning, enabling you and me by God's grace to do that and to fulfill that where God has called us. And I want to close this morning that forgiveness this morning is not a good character trait. It's not just, I want to say, a fruit. It's for you and me for our protection and life. Because I don't think it's coincidence and Jesus prays in Matthew when his disciples ask him, Matthew 6, how to pray, that he asked, that he prays, Father, forgive us our sins or our trespasses as we forgive others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. He knew why it's so important. Because if we do not pray those prayers, if we do not allow that to be part of our lives, we give place to Satan. Because the sun goes down on our wrath. And that thing becomes infested. My mind is affecting my mind, my whole being. And people leave churches because this one has said this and this one has said that and we have this. And when they say, when you, I'm going to give you a teaser. In count of three, we're busy doing that, the whole foundation thing. And we're doing the whole thing to changing it now to encounter. But they reckon, or they say, you become a mature man in Christ the day when you do not take any offense anymore, in a way. When things happen around you and you do not take offense, then you know. I'm not saying you have arrived, but in a way, then you know you've you won a lot of battles. But if you still take offense from every word that every person say, you got to grow up. That's a bait of Satan. And guess what? We are going to offend one another. That's what Jesus says. It's impossible. He says, it's impossible that offenses should not come your way. So it's like a guarantee. Oh, Jesus, I don't like that, what you're saying. But yay, I'm warning you, it's going to come. That's what he says. And it's how we deal with us that makes us mature and do not give us place. I'm going to say something. I had said something or have said something probably that offended you and so you, all between each other. But we got to love each other. We got to forgive each other and we got to grow up. And say, Lord, help me. Help me to digest this. And to know how to do and how to work with that and how to live in harmony and love with my brothers and sisters, my family. Amen. Amen. To be in God's resistance, you have to be a person of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you do not give this devil opportunity. You walk in the Spirit. You have to be a person that loves the Word more than the world. Therefore, I do not give the Bible, the devil advantage. And the third one, I walk in obedience and submission to authority. Therefore, I do not give the devil permission. And the last one, I'm walking in a right relationship with others. And therefore, I do not give the devil place in my life or foothold in my life. Let's close our eyes. Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord, and we humbly come to you, Lord, and we first of all want to thank you, Father, for your grace upon us as a congregation, upon every member this morning, Lord. And Father, we know it's by grace that you've been protecting us, Lord, in so many ways. God, we look at, oh Lord, that just could have happened, Lord, so far, but Lord, we know that you've kept the devourer away in so many ways, Lord, from that. And Lord, we want to recognize you this morning. We want to honor you this morning. We want to thank you this morning. We want to praise you this morning, Father. for keeping the devourer away by God, by your grace this morning. But Lord, we know that if we step on the battleground, Lord, and enemy territory, Lord, there are always the chance for us to get harmed, Lord, or to get damaged, Lord. And we pray this morning, Lord, that you will, God, grant our eyes, open our eyes this morning. Grant us the grace this morning, Lord, to see, Lord, if we're standing on the wrong ground this morning, Lord, where we may be more an opportune target for the enemy, Lord. We've wandered off, Lord, to somewhere, to a lonely place, Lord, where we go according to our desires and what feels good to us rather, Lord, than what your word says this morning, Lord. And we've started to love the world more than the word this morning, Father. We've allowed, Lord, your enemy to infect us with all those things, Lord. And this morning we want to move back to that place where we submit completely unto you, Lord, because we know that's the only place, Lord, where we're safe this morning, under your cloud of, your pillar of fire this morning, Lord. God, if we've moved out of authority in our homes and wherever we are, Lord, this morning, we pray, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to move back to that place. And Lord, I pray against any offenses this morning in our hearts this morning, Lord, towards one another this morning. I speak forgiveness, Lord. And Lord, let bitterness, let there be no root of bitterness present in any of us this morning. I pray, Lord, that in these days, Lord, that we will search ourselves, Lord, that we will not give him place in our lives, Lord. And Father, we've been seeing this so around us, Lord, the last month, Lord, just the attack on the church in general, Lord. And God, we pray for those being affected by that this morning. We pray for grace this morning, Lord. Father, that the enemy will not take them out completely. But Father, if they've been hurt, Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, that by your grace, Lord, that you will restore them to a place, Lord, where they ought to be, Lord, where you call them to be this morning. Father, we pray this morning that you will, God, we pray for every leader in the Swakopmund, every church leader, this myself, including this morning. Father, we pray that you will grant us the grace, Lord, to walk at the place where you called us to be, Lord, under your covering, God, where we honor you, Lord, and we follow holiness, Lord, and we do these things, Lord, because you are holy God. And Father, I bring our congregation to you this morning. I pray, Lord, that you will draw a hedge of protection, as with Job and his family, Lord, around our congregation this morning, Father. Father, this morning we remind ourselves, Lord, the enemy is just here to steal, kill, and destroy. But this morning, Father, as you draw the hedge of protection, Lord, our eyes will be open, Lord, every time he wants to get over that wall, Lord, to come and steal. We'll act relentless, we'll act swiftly, and we'll remove him from our midst, Father. We are not going to tolerate any division in this movement, in this church this morning. And Father, we renounce that in Jesus' name. Father, we speak against any offense this morning, Lord, that's been harbored, Lord. We pray against that. I speak forgiveness over that, Lord. I speak healing and restoration over that this morning. And Father, I pray specifically for families this morning, Lord, where, Lord, I just have an urge on my heart this morning, Lord, just to pray for men this morning, Lord, men that's not standing as the strong men of the house this morning. Father, we pray by grace, God, cover that family, Lord. We know, Lord, I've seen it so many times, Lord, that the family, that the children, that Satan is coming for the children because daddy is not at the place where it ought to be, Lord. And I pray this morning, Father, for the sake of those children, Lord, that your grace will be upon that house. But Father, I pray this morning for those men this morning, open their eyes, enlighten their understanding, God, to see that they're making, that they're allowing the enemy in because they're not at that place where they ought to stand. God, I pray this morning that you will raise them up. Lord, I just prophesy over them, Joel 3, where you say, wake up the mighty men this morning, Lord. Wake up, and I want to speak to all the mighty men in Swakopmund this morning. I want to prophesy and say, wake up, for there are many in the valley of decision this morning. And God, their families and the children are in the valley of decision, and you need those intercessors, and you need those people, God, that will report and say, here I am, Lord, like Jeremiah, willing to stand on the walls, willing to be the watchman, willing to see when the enemy is coming, Lord, and to act swiftly. God, I pray that you will continue to use us, Lord, by your grace. God, this morning we are not, oh God, we look at our Rundu outreach and what we've been experiencing. God, we're just so privileged, and we thank you, God. And God, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by your spirit, and this morning by your grace. And God, I'm just so overwhelmed by your goodness this morning towards us. God, help us to remain in that place of humility. God, we will not take pride in any of these things in ourselves, Lord, this morning. But you are our rear guard this morning, Lord. Humility is our rear guard this morning, Lord, as we take on your armor, as we clothe ourselves. And my Father, my prayer is this morning, as we go out this morning, Lord, that we will walk in that vigilant place. Our spiritual senses tune in. We are sensitive rather than being sensual, Lord. Because we submit completely unto you. Hallelujah. Amen.